Welcome to Mighty Parenting, the podcast with real, raw, and relevant talk about raising teens and parenting young adults. Here are your hosts, Judy Davis and Sandy Fowler.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, a community where we help you raise teens and parent 20-somethings so they can become happy, successful, and emotionally healthy adults. I'm Sandy Fowler, here with my co-host, Judy Davis, and we love doing the Mighty Parenting podcasts. We love creating these for you guys. We love learning ourselves about all the things that are happening in this 21st century of parenting. And we enjoy sharing our great guests with you. And we like to keep it totally focused on the information you need and the guests. And that means we'd really like to keep these commercial free. You can help us do that by visiting mightyparenting.com/support and see what we have for you there. So speaking of shows and guests, today we are talking about FOMO, F-O-M-O, fear of missing out. And you know, I was thinking about this and kind of thinking about what I would want to share during the introduction. The truth of the matter is that I don't have anything to share exactly because I really don't get this one. I mean, I get the concept of not wanting to miss out on something. We've all experienced that at some point in our life. But what I don't understand is how this has actually become a thing. Like, you know, that it's FOMO. And yet it is, it's this thing. It just recently, I've in like the last 10 days, like three times, I've been talking to somebody about issues facing our teens. And it's something to me that is so not related to fear of missing out. And yet the person I'm talking to, they go, oh yeah, that's FOMO. And I'm like, what? So I'm really excited about digging into this because I just don't have an idea what's going on with this one.
Yeah, I think things have changed so much, Sandy. Our kids are out there because of technology and things. They can see everything that's going on, and it's playing out in such interesting ways. So I am fascinated to hear what today's guest can teach us about this. She is Robin Axelrod Sabag, and she's an author of an incredible book called Strong Girls, Strong Parents, A Guide to Raising Teenage Girls in a New Era. And I love the fact that she is a clinical social worker and marriage and family therapist. And she has been helping teens and their families improve their ability to communicate with one another and build stronger family bonds for over 15 years. And today, I am thrilled that she's going to shed some light on this FOMO topic and give us some insight on how we can help our families become stronger despite it. So, Robin, welcome to Mighty Parenting.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
Okay, Robin, so I already spilled it here. I'm feeling a little clueless. So can we start at ground zero? I mean, FOMO means fear of missing out. And besides the very obvious, I'd like to understand really what exactly this means to our kids.
Sure. So exactly what you said, fear of missing out, it's really the fear that other people somewhere else are having more fun, that you're missing out on a rewarding experience. It's the idea, I think this gets really exacerbated by social media, but we can talk a little bit more about that after, but it's this feeling that you're where you are right now and there are others who are having more fun.
And it seems like that happens all the time. Yes. Our kids seem like there's always the grass is greener somewhere else. And have you in your practice and talking to families, what is that mindset behind that? Is there something that we can kind of help us understand that need that's trying to be filled?
Yeah. So I think that there's this, it's hard to just be where you are, who you are, be mindful in the moment. And I think, you know, as if you think about when we were kids, we experienced FOMO as well, knowing, let's say, you know, there was a party coming up this weekend, you can't be there, you have another activity with your family that you have to be at. But you're able to distract yourself because you're in the moment wherever you are. And then you might come back to school that Monday and you hear everyone talking about it. But then it goes away within, you know, a few hours and it's gone. But with FOMO, they might be at the other event with their family, but they're online in that moment on their phones, actually experiencing it with them, seeing what's going on. And they can't be present where they are. So they're feeling, wow, these people are bonding without me. They're having a great time. They're connecting, and I'm not part of that. And we have to remember, developmentally for teens, their most important concern right now is their tribe. They're connecting with other peers.
So really, I was going to say, really, it's about technology, because I I'm always a little cautious about blaming things on technology. I feel that as parents, as a society, we blame way too much on technology. Mm-hmm. And that hurts us, because then we don't look at the other causes. But really, in this case, that is the big problem, is it's the technology of when they're at the party. You said they're not at the party. They're not at their family event. They're on their phone at the other party and watching and hearing and experiencing everything they are missing in the moment as it happens. So it's not just this general thought like we had, oh, geez, I can't go to the party, and you just don't really know what it's going to be like. But they're actually moment after painful moment watching the party take place without them. And it just keeps like hurting them over and over and over and over again.
True. Yes. And I agree. We cannot blame everything on technology, but this does exacerbate the FOMO that, you know, we may have experienced as children, because they're seeing it live. Or to even more complicate that, they may not have been invited to the party. So here they are thinking, this is my great group of friends, and everyone in my peer group is hanging out. Why was I not invited? So
it's everything we experienced, except that for every minute that we felt it, they feel it for like 10 or an hour. Yes. And it never goes away, because those social media feeds, those text messages, even Snapchats, because I notice, you know, the kids now just do screenshots of the Snapchats. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All that stuff is there for them to go back and like keep picking at it and just keep picking at that wound by looking at all the stuff they didn't get to do.
And then they kind of feel like, so it, then it's these thoughts, these emotions are driven, you know, by, they see these images, and then it kind of leads to anxiety, it can lead to depression. There's this part of the brain called the amygdala, which tells you whether or not you're in danger. So, you know, we don't want to say that missing out on a Snapchat or something that you might see on Instagram means that you're in danger, but in that moment it can actually feel that way. So I will like have people come into my office and they're in a state of panic that, you know, there were all these things posted on social media this weekend and they weren't part of any of them, and they actually feel like panicked about it. Mm-hmm. So I kind of have to help them talk them off the ledge. Or I didn't get, you know, it was my birthday this weekend and I didn't get that many likes on a picture I posted. So it really contributes to their sense of self.
It's really interesting that you bring that up, the whole likes thing, because that is something that I think I'd love to dig into that a little bit, because when our kids are constantly comparing the interaction that they're getting from the outside world on what they have, it seems like it would really do something to their mindset, their self-esteem, their emotional and mental health. So how can we discover if that's an issue with them?
I think if they're talking about it to you, if they're saying, you know, I don't, if they're bringing it up, you know, if someone's coming to me or to their parents and saying, I'm upset, no one likes me, kind of dig into that. Why do you think no one likes you? And then people will say to me flat out, I didn't get any likes on my most recent post. So then you can kind of tease it apart for them. Well, does that indicate how someone feels about you? So-and-so got this many likes. Does that actually mean that people like them more? Or Is it?
Or is it that the algorithm on Facebook is messed up and no one sees your post?
Exactly, because there's something to it. I think there's all these experts who know what time to post and what time of day you get more likes. I'm like, yeah, it's beyond me. But yes, exactly. And I think you have to help them separate between the digital world and the real world. Like, you can post something and it looks like everyone's having a blast, or your picture looks perfectly airbrushed, but that's not really real, the reality of the world. And just, they don't have as much of a sense of that just because this is all they know. So helping them pick that apart, it's not just one conversation. You might need to talk about this with them over and over and over again. And kind of just pick it apart and say, you know, this is not indicate your self-worth. It's just a like on Instagram. It doesn't indicate who you are as a person.
As you talk to kids, because you're working with kids, you're working with their parents, you're working with families, are there particular scenarios or verbiage or stories that you found that reach them? Because I can see where, especially when they're in the moment and upset about something, and as the parent, we try and say, oh, well, you know, that doesn't mean nobody likes you, and it's going to just flow right over and past them, or worse, you know, it can be, oh, you don't understand, you don't get it, you don't really care, whatever. Right. Are there things that you found that kind of resonate with them that we might be able to pull from?
Yeah, well, I love what you said about before about the technology is not the enemy, because you don't want to come from that end like, oh, it's stupid, you know, nobody cares about technology, just forget about it, because that really invalidates that their experience. And, you know, they're the digital natives, this is their world, and it kind of makes you look like, you know, you're coming from a different perspective, and they don't value what you have to say. So you really have to validate and listen. You don't really have to give advice necessarily. Just taking the time, you know, they're really impulsive at this age, so they might want to shoot back a message to someone, or I've had people come and say, well, I'm going to send her a message because she didn't respond or like my picture. And it's just like, let's just take a break, slow down, and talk it through. Maybe a face-to-face interaction. So I had someone come ask for an emergency session a few weeks ago because they were at the beach, and they could actually, I didn't even know you could do this on Snapchat, but you can see where someone's location is. And a few of her friends had actually driven by her house and they didn't invite her, and it was very upsetting to her. And so she had a whole litany of things that she wanted to snap back at them. And I think it's like just about being able to talk through it, listen, let's slow down a little bit. And then, you know, teens are missing out on the face-to-face interaction. It's harder for them to pick up on the social cues. And when I talk about them with them about that, like maybe a face-to-face interaction is better here. They actually, a lot of teens that I work with are able to hear that. It's very uncomfortable for them to have a face-to-face interaction rather than a text. But they are able to see how, like, let's look at your text. Are you guys actually connecting on this? Or are you and your friends, you know, not really seeing each other eye to eye? And then let's maybe talk about things you can say to them face to face, like, hey, I noticed you guys were at a party this weekend, is everything okay, what's going on? And maybe just have like a face to face conversation.
Mm-hmm. I love that, Robin, because you gave us this concrete example of how to start talking to them. And I think it boils down to, with texting, with posting and things like that, our kids actually have not learned those skills that they need to pick up on the subtle cues of other people. We, as a society, they don't know how to read other people's feelings and just interpret words through their own filters. So as parents and mentors, how can we kind of help our kids learn to speak and get access to those cues in a way that won't make them look like they're alienated and out of touch? Because, you know, a text message and a conversation can say the same thing, but the tone can really show that it's not meant as a dig and it's not offensive. Mm-hmm. It's actually just a statement. So how can we help our kids understand those cues when they're not there?
Yeah, well, we can model for them. So if, when we have our interactions with them, we can have conversations where we're, you know, working through conflict with them. But also, I was just referring back to that situation that I just described. Sometimes I'll just help someone go through their texts and they're trying to figure out why they're being alienated or why their friends aren't talking to them or why they weren't invited. And I'll say, do you see that, you know, maybe leaving the group conversation without explaining why, or that comment you made might have been misinterpreted. And then they're like, oh yeah, I didn't even know I was doing that, or I was angry, so that's what you do. And so, well, let's talk about things that you could say face to face. You know, I could validate for you. I could say, I could see why you'd be angry or hurt by that, but people don't understand that when you text them. And I think your friends may have misinterpreted it. So let's role play some things that you might be able to say to them. So then they might come back and say, I'm going to talk to so-and-so about how I felt. And all you can do is really give them the tools and suggest ideas for having more face-to-face conversations. When you talk to them, ask them to look at you and put their phone down and encourage them to do it with their friends.
Mm-hmm. Are we, as parents, doing things to encourage this as well? I mean, I get kids communicating with their peers more through technology, mm-hmm. but are parents also doing that with our kids? Are we leaning more than we realize maybe on technology to communicate with our kids? Because, okay, I'm going to say it here on air. Yes, I am in my own house and sometimes I send text messages. Like, you know, after we record a podcast, I send a text message telling my whole family, okay, the podcast is done. You can use Wi-Fi again. You can stomp around the house rather than going out and finding everybody and telling them. So, you know, it's easy for me to think, oh, these kids today, but are we doing it too? Do you find that parents are actually part of the problem?
For sure. Yeah. I think that we are all, we're modeling the same thing. We're on our phones more than we are face to face. I know you mentioned yourself. I am too. Also about FOMO. I mean, I think as parents, we get FOMO. Right before we had this conversation, I was telling someone what I was doing and someone in their 40s, and she said, oh, I FOMO all the time. And I have it for my kids. I see other kids doing things, and then I feel this pressure, and then I push my kids to do something that I don't necessarily think they want to do. But as far as technology, I think that we are relying on it so much to the point where we're not encouraging those face-to-face conversations. Mm-hmm. And I think if we can do that for them, then we can help them in their other relationships.
I like it. So one of the things that if we find our children or ourselves feeling like we're being left out on a regular basis, mm-hmm. what can we do?
That's a good question. So I think if you're feeling left out, you know, you can, if it's a theme with certain friends, you can ask your friends what's going on. Just put it out there. You know, again, like say, I noticed you guys hung out. Could you include me next time? Which is a hard conversation for teens to have, to be that open about something. But I also think with FOMO, when it comes to if you're constantly seeing people doing things and you're not included and it's making you feel badly, and your kid's coming to you and saying, I'm on Instagram today and they're constantly saying they're not feeling good about it, maybe encourage them to take a break. And that's not to say go off phones or take their phones away or, you know, react in a way to say, well, I'm not going to let you use your phone because it's not good for you. That's going to further isolate them socially. But maybe suggest, hey, if it's not making you feel great, maybe just take a half hour break and see how you feel. I mean, I do that challenge all the time with kids who I work with, like, hey, just take a half hour break and let me know how you felt after. And it's really hard at first, like, oh, I missed out on so many things, but then after a little bit of time, actually, I felt better. Do this, I can go a little bit longer.
So, all right, let's go to this technology place then for a little bit, because this really does seem like it is the biggest part of it, as we've said. And, you know, I'm not going to leave my phone behind, and can't expect my kids to do that, you know, just shut down or whatever. But you mentioned now, you know, if say Instagram or Facebook, whichever social media platform they're using, or even just the texting, if that is causing them to feel bad, then, you know, take a break. What else can we do? Like, we talked about that they have difficulty being present at an event. So should we as parents encourage or even possibly lay down the law and say, hey, we're going to the neighbor's barbecue, or we're going to a family function and everybody's putting their phones away, or everybody's putting them away for an hour? Or does that backfire, or is that helpful?
I think it's a good idea. I think maybe instead of like coming down as the, you know, this is the rule and there's no leverage around it, why don't you sit down as a family and say, I think we all could use limits on our phone because we're not connecting. I have the same problem as an adult. You can say, you know, it's hard for me to put it away. I'm getting work messages at night, and it's preventing me from connecting with you. And your teams might agree, like, yeah, you're always on your phone. So you can put the problem out there rather than putting it on your teen. Put it as a family problem and say, hey, we're on our phones a lot. What do you think we should do about it? And come up with it as a family and say, you know, during dinner, let's put all of us agree to put our phones away. Today, it's Saturday, we're going to a barbecue. Let's have a conversation before. Should we put our phones away and like agree on it as a family rather than coming up with these? You know, you don't want to feel like you're policing them, and they will definitely not want to feel policed because then it'll cause more of a power struggle. So you can say like, I'm not going to be on my phone, but if I get a text, I might check it. How's that sound?
And it seems like if you did it as a regular integral part of your family's life, on those events, it's not going to be a big deal. It just needs to be incorporated as a coping strategy for the entire family to stop using technology so much and start getting back to that one-on-one conversation or group conversation in the family, because that's where they're going to pick up those skills to actually listen to tone and listen to the subtle cues, the physical cues that come from being in relationships with other people.
Yeah, I love the way you said that. Yeah. That's yeah.
Cool. So is there anything else that you would tell parents that they could give to their teens in this whole realm of FOMO? What is that nugget of wisdom that you wish that we knew as parents?
I think as parents, just have to keep on having the conversation. And the more you say, you know, the more you can validate and be understanding of the experience rather than say technology is the enemy, that's the way you're going to be able to connect with your teens, I think. You know, what do we do the most as when you tell your teen not to do something, what are they going to do? They're going to be the first to do it. So
right.
The more you can do and say and be real about it and share your own experience and say something like, I struggle with this too. I saw my friends at a barbecue and I don't know, and I don't think I was invited, but guess what? Maybe, you know, it was a family event and I still feel great about my relationships, but I know what it feels like. And let's talk about, you know, how you're feeling and keep the conversation open, because I think you're going to shut them down if you prohibit them from using things, from using their technology.
And I like that conversation piece. That goes back to one of our Mighty Parenting core messages about, you know, communication. We need to learn to communicate with our teens in a way that doesn't shut them down, that opens them up. And that means us opening up and being curious, which is what I heard you saying is, you know, asking them, how did you feel? What did you think about this? Well, what are some of the reasons that maybe they wouldn't have invited you? And to help them figure it out, but not again, like you said, don't tell them what to do. Don't push them. So I like that direction. And I just want to go back and kind of summarize, because this has been really interesting to me for someone who went, this isn't a thing. It shouldn't be a thing. Mm-hmm. And now I totally get it. And I understand why it's so painful and why it's driving our kids. And then what I heard you telling us too, Robin, is that basically it's causing fear and even anxiety. And so the way I'm seeing this is that we need to understand this and address this as parents to help prevent mental health issues mm-hmm. in our kids. So we really have to have some respect for this situation.
Absolutely.
All right. So FOMO, F-O-M-O, all in caps, if you haven't seen it written out, is fear of missing out. And that is the fear of that someone somewhere else is having more fun or better experience than you are right now. Or as Judy said, the grass is always greener somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as parents, we did actually experience this as kids, but we were in situations where if we didn't get invited to something or we weren't participating in something, we could distract ourselves with where we were. It was easier to be in the moment. We weren't forced to watch everything that was happening and then relive it and pick at that wound and have the pictures and the texts and the social media all in our face. So we can pull that memory to get the core of what they're going through, but we need to understand just how much this is amplified. And that's happening to the point where their brain, the amygdala in their brain, can actually tell them that they are in danger, which means that whether it makes logical sense or not, they believe that they are in danger. And that brings up that anxiety and that fear that they are having. So we need to understand that this is an issue. If our child comes to us and says, you know, nobody likes me, nobody's, you know, liking my stuff, it's time for us to have conversations, to dig into what's going on and ask them, you know, why they think this happened, help them to think through what they could do differently, what kinds of conversations should really be done face-to-face, maybe help them look at their text messages to see where miscommunication could have happened. And we need to validate their feelings and listen while we're doing this, but don't necessarily give them advice. Just kind of ask questions and let them find their way through it, or ask them if they would like an opinion or some advice. And sometimes, surprisingly, they do say yes. I found that with mine. When I think they're going to say no, sometimes they'll say yes. But, you know, as parents, we can look at helping our kids learn some of the social skills that they have missed out on with face-to-face interactions. So again, another core message, right? We need to model it. We need to have face-to-face interactions with our kids. So take an honest look at ourselves there and go, when are we skipping out on those with our kids when maybe we should be doing them? And if we find that the technology is causing problems for our kids or for us, to sit down as a family maybe and have a conversation and look for ideas from everybody and saying, hey, it seems like tech is starting to run our lives a little bit. Like tech is kind of using us instead of us using it. So what are some of the things we could change? Like, so what is, I'm thinking about that in my family, my household. I can totally see a big, huge conversation about that one. So Robin, I enjoyed your insights on this. And I know you know, you have your new book, Strong Girls, Strong Parents, A Guide to Raising Teenage Girls in a New Era. So if someone wants to, of course, we'll have the link to the book on our website, but if someone wants to find out more directly from you or see more about that, where should they go?
Yeah, sure. They can go to, well, you can get the book on Amazon, or they can go to my website. It's www.robinsabagtherapy. And the book also has a Facebook and an Instagram page where you can just put in Strong Girls, Strong Parents.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and being part of the Mighty Parenting community. And if this is your first time listening, we want to make sure to welcome you and thank you for being here. And invite you to go to mightyparenting.com, because there's a lot of things that we have that can support you in raising teens and parenting your 20-somethings. And if you've been listening for a little while, remember, you are a mighty parent. And this is Judy Davis and Sandy Fowler saying see you next week.